it's hard for us to understand that from God's standpoint, absolutely any self-seeking, in fact, absolutely anything about self whatsoever is sin. I mean, not just a little mistake, it's big time sin. It is so. Let's go to Isaiah 53 a minute before we keep the bookmark in 1 Peter 3. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm or the seed, is what it says, the Zeruah, of the Lord revealed? You must know by now that even with everyone in here, that your initial activities with the possibility of God had to do with him being your assistant, your big brother, your helper, your... The idea, it is not even in the consciousness of man that God could be anything else other than this nice being that helps you do stuff. You know, I got a couple calls in the last few days from people that I've known a long time, and about the article in the Los Angeles Times. And it's like, I mean, I thought that was like, you know, kindergarten stuff in there. And it's like, to them, it's like I'm speaking a different language. Well, what did you mean by that? What did you mean you can't help yourself? But how much still today, yet within you, is your relationship with God based on him trying to cause you or to help you get what you think is necessary or change what you don't like? And it struck me for some reason last night that this is the bottom line reason that people don't hear, that people don't understand, because they can't comprehend the idea that any aspect of them trying to help themselves, even help what they think is God stuff, to in any way try to protect themselves is ultimate sin. And it's. I mean, I got, and plus I got a letter, email from, a long email from Mike. And it's like he never heard anything all the time he was here from that email. I mean, he's very nice, and he's trying to be nice and happy. But what the hell is it? Why is it that for 30 years... I've preached as hard as I know how. I've used a million parables and examples to show you the pure evilness of any attempt to improve self, fix self, to do anything about self. And yet that's all that consumes most people. What's going on?
Well... Like you said, you've been preaching for 30 years, and you preach as hard as you can. I was going to say something kind of cute, but, you know, but anyway, I'm just thinking, it's like, you know, like you always tell us, you know, until we believe it, you know, until we see it, you know, I mean, you would think that, you know, what you're preaching is what you penetrate people's somewhere, some spirit, something, and that they would see. You know, I don't know.
All right.
says sometimes, like you said, it took Gary, what, 30, 20 years?
Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the seed or the strength of the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Actually, what it says is a root out of Zion. Zion is a place of nothing, barrenness. As a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Don't you understand, even to the extent of seeking God, you do it your own way? Even to the extent of wanting to understand spiritual matters, it's to enhance your own way? Where's the presenting yourself as a living sacrifice without condition? Where's the faith that says each moment is perfect? Where's the conversation or manner of life on a day-to-day basis when if you are challenged, you don't respond. You don't justify yourself. I still hear, well, this is what I think. This is what I believe. And this is what I think about that. Let's go to Philippians. We're not going to make it to 1 Peter today. I can tell already. Chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Can you do that today? Are you still seeking to gain something for yourself? For you and yours? Do you understand? Even if it's spiritual understanding. Even if it's knowledge about God, if you desire something for you, it is a loss to Christ. It's not negotiable. Can't you see that there is a huge part of you, that each one of you that still believes that God is up there to help you and to fix you and to make your life happy and nice? You know, it's everybody asked me, well, about the pain, you know, because it's been pretty intense. But I mean, and then nobody believes me, and I said, I wouldn't have it any different. Because it's the pain that has kept me under. And I can honestly know what it means to glory in affliction. And that's a gift of God. To not think it's strange if I'm suffering. I somehow got on Kenneth Copeland's mailing list. I mean, it's to me, Ole Anthony. I mean, at my address.
Did you in a moment of weakness send him some money?
I don't think so. Not knowingly.
Maybe he's buying census tracts.
Well, he's the one. Remember he sent us that money and I sent it back to him? Because I told him we couldn't accept it based on the... Anyway. but it's like, that's all it is. It's all about how to improve him and how to improve his ministry and his kids and how to improve those that give money to him. And he's got these great prophecies from God that told him, woke him up in the middle of the night, and told him that those that gave to his ministry would be blessed beyond belief. All these people flocked to the Benny Hinn Crusades, and all these people, you know, with rapt attention watch TBN all over the world. Why?
Because they believe it.
No, because they want to get something from God. Now, what do you want to get from God? That's your sin. Even if you're wanting to get understanding, even if you want to get revelation from Him, it's your sin. Because whatsoever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Is that penetrating anywhere, anyhow? But things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own rightness about anything which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, or it was already over. I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I have suffered the loss of all things, all opinions, all ideas, all physical things. No aces in the hole. No places of going if something goes wrong. Remember the first thing that I said. I hadn't read the Bible, but the first thing I said when I was baptized, when I came out of the water, the preacher said, is there anything you want to say, Lee? And I said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And his, you could see his face got white. And I didn't. I mean, there's nothing that I can glory in. I mean, this was a gift of God. I mean, it happened. Boom. I didn't earn anything. You know, the more we study cosmology, the more the telescopes and the Hubble's and all of these radio telescopes and everything else look into space, the more and more and more and more planets that are found that have the capacity for human life, or statistically it would seem they would. And yet we're the only one that, for which there is any evidence that there's any life on. We've talked about, you know, the number of sperm cells each man ejaculates over lifetimes, billions. And yet the only one that they have any concern over is the one that joined to the egg. The rarity of the understanding of this mystery of God, it never ceases to blow me away. Now, you have been called out of the world for a purpose. We don't understand it all, but we know that we must be totally and completely, exactly faithful to what we have seen, or we might as well just give it all up and quit. Now, you are called to die to yourself, to totally and completely abandon yourself, to have any aspect of self be repented of instantly. That's your calling here. In that process, it may cost you your wife, your children, your family, your money, your business, your houses, your homes. You may lose everything. But you have to be faithful to that rock. There's never going to be very many. There'd be a lot of mixed multitudes that are running around, but there's never going to be very many that really hear. I beg of you, be one of them that hear. And stop the incessant self-seeking. Stop it today, forever. Now. Any response?
Yeah. You know, it seems kind of scary because, you know, in my last life, you know, we'll never be able to do it. That's really scary.
That's a good scare.
Yeah. It's like, I know, you know, there's nothing that I can, nothing I can think of to do.
Because you've brought forth fruit necessary for repentance in your life. There's nothing else. Except these stupid little ideas you get every once in a while. And then you hopefully you'll come and we'll come and have a chat when one of these comes up. Yeah.
What's your new idea?
No, it wasn't about that.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Scores. Very good.
Gary, you look like you've been hit
You thought only could help you bring it.
You thought you'd been hit with, looked like you were hit with a 2x4 when I was talking. What was going on?
It's just mathematical. What I hear is, it's about the rest, and the depth of the word rest can't be even comprehended, because that in that deep place of what seems to be nothingness to me is the place of Zion and where the hearing happens. But as I move out of the rest even through the desire to understand more and gain in that arena, then there are ideas and stuff, but they're not hidden. And that's when I take over and will capitalize on the phrases or cliches or something.
It's, remember, 2 or 3 years ago, we were going to study the jewels, meaning of the different jewels, how people wear the jewels to allure. Well, that's what you were just talking about.
I was, so midway in this thing, I was going to complain about the dancing cowboy stamp because it was distracting me from pure milk of the word.
What is it doing there?
I thought we
crushed it last year.
But it is. It's a perfect symbol of what you're talking about. You know, we turn into this dancing cowboy stand out of consumerism and just, you know, wanting to get in. You know, so it really was a great picture of the evil us.
Yeah.
That comes forth.
But it's like it's the cross. I mean, you've got to understand the fullness of the cross. And nothing else. There are only two ways of thinking in the entire world: the theology of the cross, which is your death without any conditions, and the theology of glory, which is everything else. And if I promise you, if there's anything about what is being said here that you take to self, in any way think how you can use it, then you've transformed the theology of the cross in your template into the theology of glory. And I see it chapter and verse over and over and over again. It's the almost disciple, and that's what happens.
It's like the Hanukkah candle.
You can't use a Hanukkah candle for anything. Not to read by, not to light another candle, not to warm your hands, not to cook, not to do anything. You can only gaze on it.
I got a sort of, like Ronnie, a sort of a scary feeling. As he is in the world, so are we. And we read Isaiah 53 in that description of him. And the idea that everything that I do is an attempt to turn away from the man of sorrows, to not be empty, to not be whatever.
Amen. It all has to do with whether or not you've tasted that the Lord is good and gracious. If you have tasted it, if you've tasted that flesh, then you will never again eat anything else. If you haven't tasted that flesh, then you're still and drank his blood, you're still getting drunk on the wine of Ephraim, which is done in the name of God, and you're still, because you're starving, you're still having ideas and plans and things that you can think about in your mind. That's what you consume. That's what you eat instead of him. And so you're gaining your sustenance and your satisfaction and your worth from all these other little things. And in a cosmic poker game, it's extreme. You have so many tells that it's easy. I mean, you don't have to be a spiritual discernment giant to just see clearly. But you're still, you know, eating the garments, or you're still eating the dust of the earth, as the snake was forever said he must do. And so you're gaining sustenance from watching somebody else do something, or gaining sustenance from some crazy idea that is giving you, you know, getting it all pumped up, getting it all excited about these little new things? Are you getting excited about a vacation? Are you getting excited about going somewhere? All of those are the evidence that you're starving to death because you're not eating of the flesh of the Son.
And you talked earlier about you and yours, you know, I was thinking about how our kids, you know, we all had these ideas about what we would have liked them to be spiritually or whatever, you know. And, you know, it's like, well, where are those damn kids? You know, they're not around here. And you become a Bible study and all that. But we've had a chance in the past couple of weeks to talk, you know, have really long talks with several people, you know, Aaron and Sarah and Elise, and just all kinds of kids. And it's like, those kids know what's going on.
They're grounded.
You know, even Johnny's. But it's a, you know, it's like, for the most part, we haven't done that thing that, you know, people would say, you know, well, you need to get them to do this, 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 and this. While they're growing up, we didn't do that. You know, we just sort of had this different thing going. And it's turned out, you know, just amazingly good. So something to be grateful
for. Amen.
You know, I was thinking the other night when we were singing the Christmas carols, they reminded me of when I was young, a long time ago, and on Christmas Eve, I would always go to church with my grandmother, who I really admired. She was the person I really admired in my life. And I would go to her to church with her on Christmas Eve, and we'd sing those same songs. And I remember looking up at her and knowing that she believed in God. That's all I knew. But I still know that. And it's like, from then until now, I have known. It's amazing to me that there are people who don't think God exists, and, you know, crazy stuff like that. Because to me, normal, that's normal. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because what you just said about the kids, it's what kids do is they see what the people around them, what's really important, what they really believe. And it doesn't really matter what you say or any of that stuff, or what you teach them. Or, I mean, what gets to their core is what's at your core.
Amen.
But it's, the thing that was hitting me was it's so great to have this body, you know, for them to be grown again, or even just have contact with, or a place to go. That's what it was. It was like they had a place to go in times of trouble or times of questions or whatever.
Is that what it said about Cain, that he had no place?
No, the thing that is, you know, I'm starting to get a whole bunch of Christmas cards, which I just don't like too much.
We haven't sent you our Christmas cards.
Don't send me a Christmas card.
I feel really sick because I throw them in the garbage. Bad doing that.
But it's interesting. These are all people, for the most part, that we've had some contact with, some, and you know, we've talked about this many times in the past. But the idea that we're here gives them hope and strength. I mean, in a weird way. I mean, it's like, they all know that if something happened, if something fell apart in their lives, they all had a place to go to. Now, most people don't have that in the world. And so there's this free-floating anxiety that consumes, you know, it causes stress beyond comprehension in people. So it is something to be grateful for, but it's nothing, it's not something to give any breath to. Because the only reason the community exists as it does is because of the cross, the preaching of the cross. Amen?
It's also our 25th anniversary.
Today?
Today.
Congratulations.
And Misha's birthday.
And Misha's birthday.
Misha's sick.
Well, yeah, but he's not feeling well.
I remember that. I remember your wedding 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're going to be going to an undisclosed location later. We'll be back tomorrow.
Good.
meaning of undisclosed.
Are you taking the day off?
I'm gonna try and get off early, go do some stuff.
Who's gonna teach your group tonight?
You're gonna teach tonight?
Who's gonna teach That's your group? Perfect. I didn't say, I don't know.
Read this quick then.
Who's going to teach your group tonight? Okay, let me see that. All right, take it, big guy.